So you ready to make internet magic?
Sure. A jinternet. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 30th, 2009. Here we are again.
This is where you say your name.
I'm Mike.
I'm AJ.
Mike, we're both Minottis also.
True. True that.
God, it's an awkward start. Let's just keep going.
Okay. Too late now.
Yes.
This is live.
I'm not trying again, I'll tell you that much. welcome to the show, everybody. Well, we're going to start off the news today, as usual. Bringing back the Great American Age Guy Gaming Quiz.
And Answer or Die
after that. Yeah, you know, we're kind of done with... We did all of our awards already in... Awards. That's why you call them awards.
We should go make trophies and send them to Bethesda. Two of them.
Yeah, we should.
You won both of our Game of the Years. Maybe they'll put them on display. You'll watch the making of DVD for Fallout 4, and you'll notice in the background, like, hey.
We should just get one of my old Pee-wee baseball.
Just rebrand it on the bottom.
There's a baseball bat.
There is a baseball. That's one of your first weapons.
Well, there you go, then. We're great idea.
Okay, brilliant.
Yes, we'll work right on that. So, anyways, after Answer or Die, we'll talk about our week in gaming or what we've been playing, whatever.
Six things. Don't let me forget. I know six things.
Okay, I've been playing a lot too. That'll be a busy segment. Then we're going to talk about the downloadable game releases, the normal game releases. We'll hit the top 10 list over on 411 Mania. Then we got a little email, so we'll tackle that in the mail barrel segment. I almost said the exploding mail barrel segment.
If it exploded, we couldn't read them.
Well, yes. I guess so. Okay.
We should get a
great observation. What?
We should get a barrel, print all the emails, and put them in
our
there.
Emails, it would be a pretty measly-looking pile if we have a barrel full of them. Okay. So, God, just get started.
All right. Let's do some news. All right. So, apparently, it's going to be the 25th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's also my 25th anniversary soon. I didn't realize we were just as old. Anywho. So... Game Arts, guys who did
25th anniversary. That's a weird way to say birthday.
Yeah, whatever. Game Arts, the guys who did most of the development on Super Smash Bros. Brawl are making some kind of Turtles fighter for the Wii to come out in fall 2009. Are you excited?
Yes, but it's because they say this isn't based off any particular version.
Right. There's no movie tie-in, no TV show tie-in. It's just there.
I hope, though, that, like, okay, in that case, then I hope it has, like, Bebop and Rocksteady in it.
Yeah.
And Crane.
That's my thing, is, like, let's face it. Well, this will be answer that question. Is Smash Brothers good when it's not a whole bunch of crazy Nintendo characters?
Well, sure. Well, you know, I think it is.
Right.
I mean, that's me.
I know, it's you. So, yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, hopefully that'll be interesting. I wonder if there'll be items.
I'm sure there will be. It's going to be pretty casual friendly.
Dang
it. It's for children, Mike.
What?
It's for children.
What does that mean? Saying that I like children?
No, it's just got to be kept simple. That's all.
Oh, please.
Okay, so Handbit Soft is the guys who got the Hellgate London license. This is so confusing because I thought Namco had it, but apparently they don't. Handbit now does. It was supposed to close tomorrow, but they're going to keep it going as a free-to-play game. They got like a patch coming to merge the free stuff with the previously paid stuff, and it's going to keep going.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, you know, good to know. All right, here's probably the most exciting news story. Michael, if you please.
Woo!
Ric Flair is going to be in Command & Conquer Red Alert 3 Uprising, the just announced expansion pack coming in March 1999, downloadable only, 4 campaigns, and Ric Flair is playing Commander Hill.
Woo! Man.
We should put it on the blog, this wallpaper you made, because it's pretty good.
I got so excited. The art, it's just Ric Flair pointing at the camera.
There's one where he looks like he's just sternly talking, the other one where he's straight up yelling. Oh, but both times he's pointing. I just hope the entire game he's just pointing at the camera.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of RTSs, as I'll talk about later when we talk about that Dawn of War 2 demo or beta or whatever, but I don't know. Ric Flair in there yelling things at me as a fictional character, that just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like wrestlers becoming actors is kind of a cliche. Ric Flair never was.
Right.
That's why it's awesome.
And this is, if there's a place to do it, I think it's Command & Conquer.
Man.
It's so campy already, you know?
So far, this is the best news story of 2009. Last year we had Mega Man 9.
Yes.
This year we have Ric Flair in a video game. This trend must continue.
I agree. So this is interesting. In the PC version of Mirror's Edge, which was recently released, people figured out like console commands and some hacks and stuff to do a third-person camera view. Have you seen the video of this?
Looks weird.
Well, because
not
like
quite right.
They for every movement, they only animate the stuff that you would potentially see from the first-person perspective. So some of the things are only like her arms and legs are well animated, but like her torso is very stiff.
Right.
Then other movements are very like rolling and things are really well done because they just had to be. So it makes you wonder, like, would they consider ever doing like a third person patch that finishes those animations? Or
I mean, it's also looks like it's practically unplayable from that perspective.
Well, you can't aim the camera up or down when you're doing it because, you know, it's not a supported thing.
Right.
Also, the Mirror's Edge DLC that was supposed to happen got delayed a few weeks, but this week on the PSN, they did release the one PlayStation 3 exclusive level that's free, I think. So, yeah.
Okay. That.
Just announced is Boom Blocks Bash Party, the sequel to Boom Blocks. It's coming spring 09.
Everyone said Boom Blocks didn't do well, then they said it did pretty well.
Yeah, I'm always confused. The big deal with this one, it's going to have user-generated DLC and no friend codes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
More DLC. Prince of Persia is getting a DLC epilogue on February 26th. It's got some new levels, a new boss, although I guess it's just a reskin of an old boss.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, I haven't beaten it yet, but apparently the ending's not very satisfying, and this is supposed to kind of better wrap it up.
See, like, that's kind of the problem now. Everyone just gets to do, like, the DLC extra levels at the end of things.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's kind of an ending, but here's some more stuff.
Yeah. Okay, this is good stuff that's adding to a game. Warhammer Online is getting its first expansion, with air quotes. It's called a live expansion. They're titled A Call to Arms. Basically, it's going to be a whole bunch of content doled out over a series of live events from March till June. With the start of it, there's going to be two new classes introduced to the game, the Orc Choppa and the Dwarf Slayer. The Orc Choppa is one of the ones that got cut. The Dwarf Slayer's just basically the Empire counterpoint to it. They're just like balls out melee guys.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
There's going to be like live events, one a month, March, April, May. And then at the end in June, it'll unlock a new region called the Nekakara Desert.
Oh, that's good. A lot of nice content for free.
Yes. Always a nice thing.
Nothing bad to say about that. They got all those classes in there now, finally, that were cut out.
Now they just need to do all the capital cities.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So Leipzig has been canceled.
I'm kind of confused by this. It says it was replaced by something called GamesCon.
Yeah, in Cologne, Germany.
What's GamesCon?
It's something new, I guess. And
why did Leipzig immediately give up?
I think
they're like, oh god, here's some new thing I never heard of.
From what I recall, is the problem with Leipzig is the city of Leipzig itself isn't by any major airports, and so it made getting there for every party involved really difficult. Which is weird, because it's such a big convention center. You'd think there'd be an airport by it.
Right.
Or they'd build one. But, I mean, if this GamesCon is the same thing, then, like, it'll be pretty transparent to us, at least.
So, whatever.
Okay, so, I don't know if you've heard of Ruffian Games. It's made up by a bunch of guys who left Real Time Worlds, the makers of Crackdown. But apparently it's been leaked out that what they're working on is project titled Crackdown 1.5.
That's never a good sign when they're not even willing to commit to it, too.
Well, the rumor...
We don't want to go with whole numbers here.
The rumor is it's a new game in the same city. So it's more of like a standalone expansion, really.
Why can't they just make Crackdown 2?
I don't know.
I mean, I like Crackdown so much. You know, more Crackdown in any capacity is pretty good, but
like, if it comes out for $20 or $30, that's not bad.
Yeah.
More Burnout news, because that's what we do. The rumor is that there's an unannounced pack of police cars and a pursuit mode coming to Burnout, as shown in some leaked screenshots.
So it'd be like Need for Speed.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, there's already that Marked Man mode, which is kind of like Pursuit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you got a cop car. Could
be fun. That's a fun mode.
That is. Oh, yeah, you should do it when you're playing You Know My Name.
You're so gay.
It's
like that.
Very exciting.
Oh, man, I'm James Bond.
I am James Bond, damn it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is you said on Twitter was funny about this. So, Call of Duty 6 Modern Warfare 2 has inadvertently been confirmed by actor Ken Lawley on CoinOp TV.
Its official name is just Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, right?
Well, none of this is official yet.
Okay, but it's just so confusing.
Well, like we said, what is it?
It was like, this is the worst debacle in naming since Dark Forces, where you had Dark Forces 4, Jedi Knight 3, Jedi Outcast 2, Jedi Academy.
Yes. Good just, games.
Yeah, pretty good games. Especially the underrated Jedi Academy. Just still fun if someone's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, not being Kyle kind of sucked.
Yeah, you made a character and, you know.
Right.
Some games, you know, sometimes I don't want to make a character.
Yeah, sometimes I'd rather have a character made for me.
Yes.
So, the evils of DRM have at last reared their ugly face as a error in DRM code has caused all copies of Gears of War for the PC to deactivate themselves. Somehow, the game's digital certificate was set to expire on January 28th, 2009, and no one noticed. Hmm. So, you know, they are aware of the problem. They're working on it. The funny thing is that people who pirated the game illegally are able to play while the legitimate customers cannot.
Well,
this is what we've all been fearing. It is the end times.
Yeah,
computer's going to rise up. Skynet has won.
Oh, Skynet.
No, don't be excited.
It's a Terminator reference. I liked it.
Yeah, so. But we're all dead. Remember when they were like walking around on bones?
Dude, we got Christian Bale in there now. We're probably going to win that war.
Oh, sweet. That's good then. So we all know about my iPhone game fetish, and as anyone else who plays iPhone games knows, there's a couple good ones and a whole lot of crappy ones. So apparently they're thinking about segmenting it into two separate gaming stores, where there's like a space for like the 99-cent basically flash games, and then somewhere for the premium games to go. And the rumor goes that like this will only be allowed to have games made by like quote-unquote professional development studios, and they'll be baseline priced at $19.99. But hopefully this will incentivize people to make more complete games to, like that are literally on par with a PSP or DS game. I mean, the closest you've got right now is maybe like Rolando and Puzzle Quest.
Mm-hmm.
But this might encourage someone to make like maybe like a full-blown RPG or something like that.
Oh, all right, then. I try very hard to care about iPhone gaming as much as you do, but...
It's okay. So, after Black Box got severely...
What?
No, you just read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, after Black Box got severe staff cuts, people kind of thought the Need for Speed series might be dead. Quite to the contrary. There are three announced Need for Speed games, with a fourth one being rumored to be worked on. The first is called Need for Speed Shift. It's more sim-like than previous games, being made for all the next-gen consoles. I looked at a screenshot. It looked, like, kind of nice. It has, like, the full-on, like, rendered interior cockpit view of all the cars and everything.
So this is, like, kind of Gran Turismo-like.
Yeah, yeah, a little more. I don't think it's going to be quite as full-blown sim, but certainly more so than previous Need for Speed games.
Mm-hmm.
The next one's Need for Speed Nitro. This is the one that'll be on Wii and DS. It's going to have
with the Wii wheel.
It'll have, like, a unique art style, and it'll be a little more kid-friendly.
I always like the unique art style thing.
Yeah.
So that's a very nice way of saying... Bad graphics.
Bad graphics, but yeah. We try to make it look better.
But it has a nice personality.
Yeah.
The ugly girlfriend.
Then we got Need for Speed World Online, which is a free-to-play MMO that I'm sure will have a shitload of microtransactions in it. It's going to come out this summer in Korea, and then like in the fall in America. And then the fourth one, that's like the secret title, is being worked on by what's left of Black Box. And we don't know what it is.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
I bet it's a racing game.
Good call. So Bobby Kotick, Activision CEO, has confirmed DJ Heroes coming this year.
So it's Beatmania, basically.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, okay. They're just going to steal another one, and everyone will be like, oh, they're so brilliant. And then there'll be like 10 of us who are like, excuse me, Konami did this like 12 right. years ago.
Then they'll make a new Beatmania, and some guy in Forbes will talk about how
it's like a shameless ripoff.
Yeah. Oh, Forbes guy.
Did you see that? He published a follow up where he acknowledged that, like, yes, this is how it happened, but I still say it's a ripoff.
He's not going to recant what he said.
Oh, I know. Well, like his argument is saying, like,
it's not, like, maybe technically it's a ripoff, but first off, ripoff has such a negative connotation. Then you do shameless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Think about it, shameless. That's without shame.
Yeah, actually.
Shameless is such a bad word.
No, it's not.
Maybe it was a compliment. Okay, anyways. Let's move on.
All right, so we got a bunch of Nintendo release dates that I thought we'd mention. Fire Emblem The Shadow Dragon comes out February 16th.
I'm looking forward to that. And I freaking need a new DS game. There's been a drought there.
Seriously.
This is the remake of the first Fire Emblem for
yes,
DS.
Which is pretty cool. And then Pokemon Platinum will arrive March 22nd.
That's good.
They're going to have... So they're called New Play Control Pikmin.
Is that what it's really called in America?
Yep. And
that sounds so Japanese.
New play control. It's like right after a shine get.
Yeah, honestly.
So Pikmin and Mario Power Tennis just have a vague March release date. Although they have Pikmin's got a Feb 6 in Europe and Tennis is March 3rd in Europe. And then we have Punch-Out for the Wii and Wii Sports Resort just confirmed for the first half of 2009.
All right.
Okay. And the last thing we'll talk about in the news is Square Enix
that
released
countdown went off. The countdown.
Yeah, we were right. It was a trailer.
Did we predict that?
I thought one of us said that. Maybe we didn't say it on the show, but I'm pretty sure one of us said it'd be a trailer.
Just say like, oh, one of us must have said something.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, okay, if you want to credit yourself.
Anyway, what did you think?
I thought it was sweet. Did you not see that combat system? It was cool as hell.
It's flashy.
What's that? It's flashy.
I'll just say I think it's cool, but it was completely expected.
What do you mean?
It was a whole bunch of CG of people just being way extreme. What do you mean, extreme?
They're talking and fighting.
Yeah.
If they're not being extreme, you don't make a CG cutscene out of it.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Like, I don't see what everyone's like. They made a CG cutscene where everyone's running around with crazy stuff.
No one's even caring about the CG cutscene, first off.
Okay.
First off, and you're so excited whenever, oh, here's the new Warcraft CG scene.
Because those are sweet.
This Warhammer CG scene. I like CG scenes made for Western RPGs.
That's right.
Japanese RPGs are stupid.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
People are fighting with swords and stuff. That's dumb. Oh my god, this person has a mace and an axe. You're such a freaking double standard. I'm sick of it. You do. Anyways, were you not excited about that combat system?
Yes, I think the combat system looks very cool.
That's what people are excited about.
And that's all well and fine.
It looks like it has the ATB system with like a sort of combo system in it. Like your ATB meter goes down, and when you fight, you're actually talking. It's almost like a come be kind of real time for a small second.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool as hell. Plus, it's not like that old syndrome where like it's like I slash my sword away from you and you get hit. Like, you know, you go up to them and they punch them a few times. They're dodging. They're getting shot at by machine guns.
My favorite parts are when you would see the two characters kind of trading blows like towards a common foe.
Right.
Like, that's cool. I hope there's, like, ways of, like, combining the attacks.
I can't believe you didn't think that trailer was the hell.
I think it's good. I didn't, like, start frothing at the mouth as I watched it.
No, it looks awesome. You're dumb.
Okay.
Go freaking play KOTOR or something.
I will. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, that game had great CG, didn't it? Oh, wait, it didn't.
Didn't have any CG.
Yeah, probably not.
Just, like, for when the ship was leaving the dock.
Yeah, that's CG. That counts. Man, you're dumb. Okay. Great, to prove how dumb you are, you got the Great American Ads Guy Gaming Quiz.
Good segue.
Yes. And so, we haven't done this in a while, so just a reminder, when we got five questions and the bonus question. So, if you get five points, you pass.
Okay.
Okay. So, here's the first question. What was the first Final Fantasy game to feature summons?
I know for a fact 4 has them, because there's the summoner in it. But I'm trying to think if 3 had them, because I never played 3. I don't think so I'm going to say 4.
3.
Damn it!
One of the jobs in Final Fantasy 3 was Summoner.
Oh, shit.
Question number 2. And that was one of the easier ones.
Great.
Number 2. Wario Woods was the last licensed game released on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
What was the second to the last?
Star Tropics 2.
Ooh, you knew that one, huh?
I did know that one.
You knew that one. What's the subtitle there?
Zora's Revenge.
I think it's Zoda's Revenge.
Whatever.
Zora would be the fish from Ocarina of Time, but whatever. Okay. Number 3. 4 new characters were introduced in the Street Fighter 2 lineup and Super Street Fighter 2, the new challengers. Name 2 of them.
Cammy.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Fei Long.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
There's also
T-Hawk.
T-Hawk and DJ.
Yeah, I was going to get it.
No, you got the question already. Number 4. The original Street Fighter Alpha has a subtitle. What is it?
Oh, God. I know this. Is it First Strike?
No.
Damn it.
No, it's Warrior's Dreams.
Oh, I would have gotten that.
Let me make sure here. Yeah, Warrior's Dreams.
What
weird.
What the hell's that?
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
So I've lost. Well, let's keep going.
You lost, but we'll see how far you get. Number 5. The Japanese NES Star Wars game was not particularly faithful to the source material. What animal did Darth Vader transform into during his boss fight?
Which was on the Sandcrawler, and he turned into a scorpion.
Okay, yep.
It was like, Darth Vader didn't even go to Tatooine. Why did you do that? Jerks.
Yeah, what's the bonus? From there.
Bonus question. Final Fantasy V's main protagonist has the unfortunate name Butts in Japan.
Uh-huh.
What is his name in all American releases of the game?
Barts.
Yep.
Why didn't I say Final Fantasy III? I would have won.
You would have won if you had Final Fantasy III. I mean, I didn't think you were getting Wario Woods or even the four new challengers thing.
Oh, I knew that.
I knew that. So, not too bad. What was your? We got four. Yeah, that's respectable, I guess.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, it's not great. I wouldn't brag or anything.
Well, I'm going to get my revenge and answer or die, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. You get to hit me. Okay.
Okay. For the first one, one of the games that you played this week that you were just playing is Strong Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I will ask, besides Grim Fandango, what is your favorite old school adventure game? 5, 4, 3, 2
Curse of Monkey Island.
Very fair. Yeah. Explain why.
Yeah, it was Day of the Tentacle was kind of the first one we played.
Mm-hmm.
Curse of Monkey Island was like it was the first one that was really. I don't want to say Day of the Tentacle wasn't the complete package, but Curse of Monkey Island was just it was interesting.
Well, because we didn't play Dot like when it was contemporary.
Yeah, exactly.
Curse of Monkey Island is the first contemporary one we played.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was new when we played.
I was expecting either CMI or Sam and Max from.
I was thinking Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max, or Curse of Monkey Island, really. Those are all three. I played all three of those around the same time. I always say that Sam and Max is probably the funniest adventure game out there.
Yes.
Day of the Tentacle is structured very well with all the time travel stuff.
Yeah.
But Curse of Monkey Island really kind of has the whole thing going on there.
It's a very pretty game.
Yeah, it's a very pretty game. Puzzles are all nice. Very good voice acting. Oh, it's only ever been trumped by Grim Fandango, in my opinion. I know some people kind of got into it before, so like, Chris McGowan wasn't made by Ron Gilbert, and it's not canon. Monkey Island 2 is good, too. Monkey Island 2 can be hard.
It is hard.
I mean,
it's very
hard. You can beat that game without a fact. Good work. Especially like the whole end segment where you're kind of fighting with Chuck and you need to make the voodoo doll.
Oh, yeah.
Hard stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
So, of all the Wii games released so far, which one do you think has the best implementation of Wii controls? 5, 4, 3
Super Mario Galaxy.
Explain.
Because it's supplementary.
It's what?
It's supplementary, you know what I mean? It's not like the game doesn't depend on it, but what is in there works and it is actually beneficial to the game.
I don't know how I feel about your answer.
What do you mean?
Because I would argue that Super Mario Galaxy could have been rather easily done on a regular controller.
No, you couldn't have.
Why not?
How are you going to point and collect all those star bits?
Well, that's the second player. That's not really...
That's not second... What are you talking about that second player? That's like a... That second player thing is the culprit of being stupid, if anything. That's a crappy second player mode. That was meant to be...
It's good for kids.
What?
It's good for kids.
No, it's meant... That's one player and you'd know it. And you shoot those things at certain enemies. You need to do it. It's interesting.
Very,
cool.
Very well. Very well.
Plus you whip it and you do that spin move. It works.
Okay.
Well, last one. What would you say?
I would probably say, honestly, Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks could be a little finicky sometimes.
A little bit.
No,
see, I still get the sense that, a lot, especially with the first kind of year and a half of Wii games, I think Nintendo kind of oversold the Wiimote's capabilities. So people thought they could make these games where it's like one-to-one sword fighting and like, you know, very precise movements.
Not undersell.
Like, I think that's like why Gearbox did Samba de Amigo. They're like, oh, this is perfect. And then they're probably making the game. They're like, fuck. This thing actually sucks.
You want to know what my better answer is now that I've had time to think about it?
Sure.
Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition.
I thought you might have said that, too.
I forgot about it, but man, that game controls very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the last one?
Last one. What is your favorite piece of DLC yet? 5, 4, 3, 2
Knot Hole Island.
Did you even play Knot Hole Island?
Yeah. Knot Hole Island is cool because, one of the more complete DLC things we've really seen, at least of what I played. I mean, come on, how many other DLCs of things have I played? I'm not much of a DLC endgame kind of guy.
True,
true. You know, I respect Knot Hole Island because it really is, hey, look, it's the closest thing I've seen to an expansion yet. There's been other things like it, but...
You didn't play Shivering Isles for Oblivion.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
play... That was an expansion.
I didn't play Oblivion, and I didn't play, what other games even had these things?
Let's see, Mass Effect had a downloadable thing. You haven't played Anchorage yet.
See, this is pretty much a trick. You almost hit me here by default. Because I was trying to think something better than Knot Hole Island. But
well, you could have said, the Halo map pack or something.
Because I love Halo so freaking much. You're just trying to hit me right there.
Pretty much.
I justified my way out of it at the last second.
Well, very good, then.
I thought you were just going to punch me to see this in Nautical Island, because I wasn't satisfied with the answer.
What do you see, like, Nautical Island?
Because I don't really like Nautical Island
that much.
Like,
what's recent DLC? This one.
I mean, I haven't done much DLC.
Oh, very
well. Not really.
So what you been playing, Mike?
I played the first episode of the Strong Bad games. Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people. I played the first episode when it came out, so that must have been like 5 months ago now, because all five episodes.
Yeah, it was quite a while.
But I played the next two episodes finally this week. And the first episode was fine, but the last episodes were really good, I thought. They were just very funny. I giggled a lot to myself.
Yeah, I even heard you started the fourth one.
Yeah.
Just a lot of things, like people just walk on the screen and start chuckling.
I know. I find Strong Bad stuff very amusing for some reason.
It is. I'm not going to lie.
I don't even know why. There's the one character. His name is Homestar. And he came about because like somebody wrote an email to Strong Bad and they meant to say Homestar and they said they misspelled it. This character basically looks like Homestar, but like the rules of physics don't apply to him, so he's like always kind of floating around. And he talks in complete gibberish. He's always like, "I took the last train to the movie stadium," stuff like that.
Yes, it doesn't mean anything.
I know, it's complete nonsense. And every time I see him, I just burst out laughing. At one point in the one episode, the third one, where the baddest of the bands, mm-hmm. where first you have to set up a Battle of the Bands concert and then you have to compete in it. Because first you set it up hoping to make money, then you realize you didn't get as much money as you want. So of course now you have to compete and win the Battle of the Bands. Also, it's amusing because your band sucks so much, so instead of just trying to make your band better, you just try to sabotage all the other ones.
Well, naturally.
But since all the other people from the Strong Bad universe are taken in other bands, Strong Bad is like left with King of Town and Homestar. And Homestar just floats around and plays like that rod.
Yeah, what's it? I forget what the thing's called.
But you emulated the sound pretty good. It's just that rod that just sends his motions. And he's literally just floating around it. It's just the silliest thing I've ever seen. Also, the second episode is my favorite so far. The Strong Baddie of the Free. It was and like the whole point of it was like the King of Town like is unjust or something. So everyone wants to secede from him. Mm-hmm. So Homestar, you know, Strong Baddie. Joke in the things. He has his own little nation. It's basically just his backyard. And so he's like, okay, Strong Baddie is going to secede. Who's with me? And everyone else just goes and they like create their own nations. So instead of like a normal map, he has he basically has what's a risk map. It had some other name in it, but like so he just writes down all the names there, and like you literally have to go around like conquer everyone or convince them to join your side, then you go fight the King of Town at the end.
Nice,
it was cool stuff. I mean, these games, the problem with episodic adventure games is by virtue they're not very long, so there aren't that many places to go to, there aren't that many people to talk to, and there aren't that many inventory items.
Mm-hmm.
So the puzzles aren't too hard because there's only so many things that could possibly happen. But if it's funny enough and you have a reason to go through it, you know, then it's worth it. Plus, each one has a system called a video electrics or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's basically an NES, and every one of them has a game in it. Hmm. In episode two, there's this game. It was like the Math Brothers or something. Where like it was these two guys and they had to fight ninjas, and they're always back to back. The one guy's on the left, the one guy's on the right. And the one guy on the left can punch people to subtract them. The guy on the right can throw fireballs to add them. So, like, there'll be four ninjas over on your left and two on the right. So you have to, like, even it out.
Interesting.
But, like, the boss is always a quadratic formula.
Oh, no.
He just beat it up. I even got moves to, like they're basically just... They all had, like, math names to them and stuff.
Parallelogram.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they were special moves. It was hilarious. They're fun games, and I got a Wii Points card so I can get the next two episodes. I should be enjoying those.
Good, be good. Well, we talked a lot about Strong Bad.
Yeah,
let's
you
see.
About something you played.
Let's get the big one out of the way, I guess. I played the Fallout 3 Operation Anchorage DLC.
Oh, good. Thanks for bringing that home, by the way, so I can try it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, I can see where some people might not like it because it is pretty linear and very combat focused. Like, Because it's like taking place in a simulation, it breaks a lot of rules. Like there's like invisible walls that like show up as like this like kind of matrixy.
Do you get to bring your inventory in with you?
No, it's all not. It's all procure on site in the game, and like you'll find there's all over the place. There's like health dispensers and ammo dispensers that just fill you up. So it plays a little more almost like a traditional shooter, except with vats, which I think is cool though.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's neat is just how starkly different the environment is in this game, in like the snowy mountains of Alaska.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to try that.
There's like a kind of sidekick character with you a lot of the time who actually I liked a lot. I thought he was a cool character. And some of the equipment you get at the end is awesome because like when you finish it, then like you find like this room that had like all the items that were in the simulation that were like stored. So I've got like this Gauss rifle, which is basically like an electromagnetic sniper rifle. That's friggin' like if it doesn't kill people, it'll probably knock them over.
Nice.
Which is really cool. And then I got like this stealth ninja suit. When I crouch to go into sneak, I actually become invisible.
Oh.
And so I'm wearing that with a fedora. It looks awesome.
Why not?
But yeah, I mean, like, it took me about a little over 4 hours to beat for $10. It was pretty good, I thought.
What else?
And it got me to level 20 too, which is pretty sweet. Good. So I took the one perk.
I wish the level cap was raised a little bit with this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that thing where they were interviewed, kind of, and it was like,
Yeah, they said in Fallout 4 they'll definitely not end the game and not have a level cap.
Well, there's some kind of ending, but like you can't stop the game in its tracks.
Right. Especially, I think because the thing is, Fallout 1 and 2 do end.
Right.
But Oblivion doesn't, and I think people were expecting them to do more like Oblivion does. Because, I mean, that's one thing that kind of sucked, is like, to play this DLC, I had to like go through all my save files and find the one that I made right before the point of no return, and like just go from there.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of sucky.
Right. And you're right about the level cap, because like I said, this brought me to 20, but like when the pit comes out next month, I'm going to like play that and make no progress. And then the last one will come out in March, and I'll be like, I wish I like had those three levels I might have gotten, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it's awesome, and I love that game.
That's good. You made me download the Dawn of War 2 beta.
Yeah, I thought you might have liked it.
No.
I like it a lot.
I didn't. It's not like RTSs. Plus, this one, like, there's no base building, and it was like I was capturing control points, and it needed me to do much more multitasking than I possibly could.
Well, but see, the thing is, like, what always killed me in these games was going back and forth between my armies and my bases. And so since there was no base to worry about, I had a much easier time controlling my armies. The thing is, you have to it takes a lot of the things they came up with for Company of Heroes, especially as far as unit cover goes. It's so important, you don't realize it, to actually position your guys behind walls and behind cover and then let them fight, rather than just take a whole bunch of units and throw them at somebody. See, just,
as a guy who has not really played an RTS pretty much since Warcraft 3, and has not followed the progression of the genre at all.
Yeah, if you try to play this like Warcraft 3, you're screwed.
It's too much to take in for me. I just don't know what's going on.
But
I just kind of missed the boat there.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it plays really well. It looks awesome. Like the unit animations are phenomenal, and I really really like it. And I'll say this too: it is the best implementation of Games for Windows Live yet.
If you say so.
You do parties and everything. It just works really well.
What was that weird PC game you just had me play, like, right before we did this?
Okay, so there is a free indie game called Gravity Bone that everybody should go play. We'll try to talk about it and be vague, because it's kind of, you don't want to really spoil it. But just suffice to say, it's a sort of first-person action-adventure game with a really interesting way of telling its story, and it's pretty cool.
Very cool. I don't know how much fun it was till the end, personally.
Right.
But it's short.
So. Yeah, like I said, 5 minutes. Check it out.
Not very many people must have made that game.
No, I think it's like one guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Let's see. Speaking of RTSs, so with the whole Ric Flair announcement, I decided to finally play the Red Alert 3 demo that's been sitting on my Xbox for months.
I just downloaded that.
Yes. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. The whole co-commander system in the game actually helps make it a lot more playable for me. Because like I said, like when I'm in those situations where like I can't manage my base and the fight at the same time, I could just go send my AA co-commander to go fight somewhere while I tend to my base and then go help him when I'm ready.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's just great. Like the opening cinematic with like Tim Curry in it and everything that like shows them traveling back to time and killing Einstein is like awesome.
He does?
Yeah. That's how he becomes the premier of the USSR and you know, they stop the invention of the atomic bomb.
That bastard.
Right. But
wait a second. He stopped the invention of Tom Bond. That's not so bad.
Yeah, except that they now have, like, well, then, like, it basically made the Alliance and the Soviets and the Empire of the Rising Sun, like, all super powerful in, like, other ways, and they're all threat to each other.
Oh, that's right. We did kind of need that. Right.
Yeah, Japan got really big because we didn't blow them up.
I still feel bad about that.
Yeah, I know. But,
bummer.
I mean, what's really fun, though, is the way how throughout the missions, they actually pop up little video windows with the actors in them who start telling you stuff. So, like I said, the prospect of
Ric Flair.
Like, I really want there to be a mission where I just drop a giant bomb on a building and Ric Flair just pops up and goes, woo!
Oh, man. Gotta work on your woo a bit.
Woo!
That's much better. That's okay. Much better.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't prepare, really.
Yeah.
I just went into it.
Man, you said he's played six things.
That was three, right? Four.
That's Gravity four. Worm.
I also played the demos for Fear 2, which
I saw Chris play the demo.
Surprised the hell out of me.
I was like, it looks cool, but it seems like the worst parts are when you're fighting.
I think the fighting was pretty solid. It's solid, but it has really good AI, which makes it a lot of fun.
It's more interesting when you're just walking around and crazy shit is happening.
There's one part where you just. I'll try to be vague so you don't know where it comes, but basically you walk and you see like a distant vista, and all of a sudden it like just flashes to this scene that they showed in the opening cutscene of like a tree in the middle of a field with a swing on it, and you like keep walking, and then this like woman just like appears and she's like grabbing you and flashes away and she's gone. Like, I jumped out of my seat. Mm-hmm. It scared the hell out of me, but I was really impressed with how good that was. And then, well, the last thing I guess I got to talk about you play too is the RE5 demo.
Oh, yeah.
Which we have not done co-op yet. We need to do that.
I think it's sweet.
I think it's pretty good too.
I mean, it's basically Resident Evil 4, which I liked.
Yes.
I'm glad that they didn't fall into too many pressures. Like, everyone's like, I'm glad they didn't turn it into a third-person shooter.
And here's what I realized too. Everyone's like, oh, where's the evolution? Having just the other person in the game, like, completely changes it for me.
Yeah.
It's so different.
I know. I mean, the whole inventory has been streamlined a lot.
Which... I'm still on the fence about that, just because it's so hard to do stuff.
You know, you can hotkey things to up, down, left, and right.
Oh, well, that helps.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I wish they would have told you that.
You know, it's just a 3x3 box, whatever is up, down, or left, or right.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm trying to fight that damn chainsaw guy.
Yeah, I know.
The first time I tried to do it, I got pissed because a zombie grabbed me, and my AI partner didn't help me, and then the guy just lopped my head off. But the second time, like, I went through all my ammo, and I had those incendiary grenades. Like, my last grenade killed him. I was like, aha. I wonder if they did that on purpose. Right. Just like, whatever is your last bullet, we'll kill him.
It's a very good-looking game, too.
Yes, yes.
And they do co-op so well. It's not just like, oh, this person's with you. I mean, there's all these situations where you're not only split up, but you have to help the other person.
Right.
Like, there's the one where the girl splits up, and, like, she's being attacked. You have to support her with rifle fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cool scenarios like that. It really does seem like the game would be more fun to play co-op. Actually, kind of the one thing that got to me was I got to the one part where there's a chainsaw person, and I'm trying to fight it, and my partner just kind of, you know, got her head chopped off, and it was game over. Yeah.
I was worried that was going to happen.
And I was just like, well, huh.
Yeah, it's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Way to just run away. Like, I could see it, like we really need to play, because I could see it being really cool, like, coordinating your reloads. And, like, you know, saying, like, you know, push these guys away and I'll watch our back and everything.
Right. I was playing with Chris.
Yeah.
Who didn't play Resident Evil 4 that much, so he wasn't, like, great at it, but it was fun.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, it's a good game. I can't wait to play more of that. Is there anything else?
I think that's it for me.
That's it for you. God,
I feel like you did, too.
I mean, I think I talked about my frustrations with the Zelda game on the DS, Phantom Hourglass.
Right, yeah, you talked about that last week.
I even tried doing it again, I just couldn't do it. Ah, man, I really need a new DS game to play. Freaking Fire Emblem.
I'm going
to
get that Korg DS10 synthesizer when it comes out in a couple weeks.
What is that again? Explain that to me.
It's, imagine, like, computer software for creating electronic music, like techno, but, like, on a DS. But, like, it's like a full-blown professional application. This would be, like, the Photoshop of, like, techno music.
Okay.
On the DS.
I got to the point in World of Goo where it's very hard.
Yeah.
Like, there are a couple missions I just can't beat right now.
I see.
You gotta go back to them. Fun game. It's gotten very hard. It's good enough for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do some downloads.
Okay. What are the downloadable game releases?
All right. So, we have first on the WiiWare's Nikki Rockin' Ball. I don't know what this is.
We don't have to worry about it.
Then the virtual console, Wonder Boy and Monster Land for the Sega Master System.
Oh boy,
system.
Sega Master games.
Yeah. No one cares. Xbox Live Arcade. I accidentally said this was out last week, not realizing that they were just announcing what was next week. So, oh. Sorry. It's Funtown Mahjong.
Yeah, well, here it is.
So you like Mahjong. PlayStation Network. Savage Moon, which I believe is some kind of tower defense game. Bejeweled 2, marking PopCap's final, like, long-time coming arrival on the PSN. I don't know why that took so long. And Brain Challenge for PS3 and PSP Bundle. I don't know what that is exactly, but...
Okay.
Game Tap, we got Painkiller Overdose and 13th Century Death or Glory.
Yeah.
And good old games. We got some kind of game called In Cold Blood. Painkiller Black Edition, which is the first Painkiller.
Oh, okay.
And Panzer Elite Special Edition, the tank game from Days of Yore.
Is that a typo?
That is a typo.
Hansel. It's like a pretzel or something.
Ooh, that sounds kind of good.
No, it doesn't. All right, let's talk about the real games. Afro Samurai.
I heard, like, this game's not bad, but the story is done very poorly.
Yeah, I believe it. That's for 360 and PS3. I mean, it's basically that what you would expect, right?
Yeah.
MLB Front Office Manager for PC, 360, PS3. Is this kind of like Head Coach?
Maybe.
Coraline.
Coraline.
Oh, that's that movie, isn't it?
Yeah, with the button high people.
The game came out for DS, Wii, and PS2.
Okay.
DJ Max Fever for the PSP.
Interesting.
Boy. Rygar, The Battle of Argus for Wii. Isn't this like a
PS2 game or something?
Yeah, this is good. An old PS2 game.
Yeah. Who knows, maybe it's good.
Orchard, PC.
PC.
Savage Moon. You talked about that. Yeah. Sin Animals for the DS. Another crappy animal game.
Nobunaga's Ambition, Iron Triangle for PS2. I bet that's awesome.
Man, what a strange name. The Chase, Felix Meets Felicity for the DS.
Also sounds amazing.
Old school arcade platforming is what it says. So maybe it is amazing. Mm-hmm. They also got Power Bike for the DS.
For a second I saw that cover box and I thought it was, what's it called? Uniracers? What was the one where you were just
Unicycles?
Like what was it called? It wasn't called Unicycles. It had a name.
It was Uni something.
Yeah. That game was awesome. I remember that.
Yeah, it was cool. Someone weird made that. Someone who you wouldn't think made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I think it was Rare or Rockstar.
Yeah, I think Rockstar did make that.
When they were still DMI? Was that their old name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rockstar didn't make that game.
Yeah, because you watched that game trailers thing about
it
a while ago.
Right, that's right.
Great also, game.
Whoa. Okay.
So, what do we got in the top 10?
On the 10th Hour by Derek Robbins, got the 10 most annoying game characters.
Oh, boy.
I want to see what you think about it. I read this already.
I'm going to try to do the voices of each one of them as we get to them if I know it.
Well, don't do that. Please, Gargod. Number 10 is Big the Cat.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore.
You're not an improv kind of guy, Edge Guy.
Yeah, I am sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, I don't know. Don't you like Big the Cat?
I think he's okay.
He's kind of offensive.
A little bit. I like the song.
A little bit.
I like his song from Sonic Adventure 1,
everyone had
though.
A good song in Sonic Adventure 1. Well, how did his song go again?
Hey, big guy. Hey, little guy. Can you tell me who came first? Sorry, but I don't know. We are simply natural. We present you with a gift.
Shut up.
Paradise. Okay, I'm done.
God. He's key. I'm surprised he's always coming back in these games, though.
Well, he doesn't fish anymore, at least.
I kind of thought that they would be done with him after Sonic Adventure 1, but he's in Sonic Heroes. He was in that DS RPG.
Yeah, he's in there. Looking for Froggy.
It's like this Big the fucking Cat. Number 9 is Mr. Rossetti.
Oh, that guy's a bastard.
I know some people get tired of his shtick, but I still think it's funny.
It is funny. It is clever.
I know you get tired of it after a while.
But the thing is, though, real quick, he'd yell at you, but nothing ever broke. Like, I think he's just like a shadow organization or something. It's like, what are you going to do about it?
8 is Sonic, only in Smash Bros. Brawl.
Why? What's he do?
He sucks when he's not Super Sonic, and when he's Super Sonic, he's pretty powerful. He does have one of the better Final Smashes in the game. Just do what I do, and I'll play a Final Smashes.
Right. But I like him when he says you're too slow, because he does the super peel-out animation.
I know you like that. 7 is Sagat.
Tiger! No, it's Hyper.
God, I got an argument with my one friend who was like, it's Hyper Uppercut, it's Hyper Uppercut. Literally.
So we got out the game on Xbox Live Arcade, pulled up the official move list that says Tiger Uppercut, and he's like, no, it's wrong. Like, this is what Capcom says it is.
It's not even worth it anymore.
Yes.
This is John Madden.
Oh, man.
I like this picture of him heavily makeup.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. Oh, he's John an Madden. Ugly man.
Jolly looking me. It's not bad. This is not a flattering picture of him, to be sure. Five of Baby Mario. Yeah.
Okay, that was motivation to not get hit in that game.
Well, what if he didn't make that loud noise,
then,
though?
Yeah, you wouldn't give a shit.
Then you wouldn't know if he was gone. The problem. Four is Slippy. I'm interested to see why he's not number one. Slippy sucks.
All Slippy does is just go out to get shot at, and you have to save him. It's like, you know, why don't you stay inside the Great Fox and build shit?
I like this picture of him.
Yeah,
like, it's a very gay picture.
And he got married.
To what?
To another frog who's, like, taller than him. It's very strange. I think she's pink.
God, that's...
You didn't play that on Star Fox Command? And then what I didn't get, too,
why
is...
Why did Star Fox get so crappy?
What I don't understand, too, is, like, no one knew he got married. Like, Fox goes to find him because he needs help. He's like, you're married now, Slippy? I'm like, come on, these guys are supposed to be, like, best friends. He didn't invite him to his wedding? What an asshole.
Honestly.
Sometimes he's annoying. He's a dick.
Star Fox needs to... They need to get rid of that crystal chick for one
thing. Yeah, that's Rare's fault.
Yeah. Most things are. Number three is Raiden. Only from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, he was fine in 4.
He was pretty whiny in 2 and sucky in general. I mean, everyone's distaste for Raiden is well documented.
Yes.
Look at this.
That is kind of cool looking.
I'm moving my mouse around so that Raiden's fighting himself.
Okay, stop.
I thought you said it was cool
looking. It was. You overdid it.
I don't agree with this one at all.
Niku
at the beginning of the world ends with you.
He's like just walking around. No one gets me. No one understands me. Yeah, he said.
You're paraphrasing.
Actual quote. No one understands me. It's like, well, what's your deal? You're walking around with headphones on. Who cares?
For God's sake.
Oh, he's so angsty.
Oh, so what? Oh, God. We never had a video game character who's angsty. I disagree. I like Niku. Number one is Navi.
Hey.
It sucks. But. I guess was important, maybe.
A little bit.
Kind of neat.
What I found annoying was that opening scene of Navi flying around the little village forest and Ocarina of Time. You couldn't skip it.
Yeah.
Because the multiple times that I've tried to go back and beat that game, I watched that and literally, like, that turns me off. I'm like, I don't want to watch
every
this.
Every Zelda game since Ocarina of Time on has very slow beginnings.
Yeah, which is dumb.
Twilight Princess, especially. I can't imagine just playing that game again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a fun game, but God, like, that whole beginning was slow.
Yeah, I'm like, freaking Link to the Past just, like, started. It was awesome.
Like that past, your uncle's like, I'm going out. You're like, okay.
Okay, and you're like, I'm going to come too. Wait. And like, oh, you're dead.
I'm dead. Take this stuff and go fight shit. I'm like,
yeah,
yes.
It's like, this is awesome.
Yeah. You know, as annoying as everyone says that that Navi is, they sure do emulate that character a lot. There's always you still have like your little.
Well, like it's kind of a necessary evil at this point now
because Link refuses to talk for himself, so you have to
You have to have like the narrator voice.
That's why Wind Waker was awesome because you normally just didn't did that, and like the person who talked to you was the King of Red Lions.
Oh, he
boat.
Was sweet.
And he was awesome. Twilight Princess, you had Midna, who I thought was just as bad as Navi, frankly.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, some people like Midna. I thought that she was annoying and stupid. Do you disagree?
I do agree. Oh, I mean, no, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like Midna. I thought she was dumb. She's always very... I don't like cocky video game characters. She always has, like, a dumb smile. He's not cocky. He's anything but cocky, Niku. That game was awesome. God,
I know you like it a lot.
Liked it because it's so good.
Beige likes it.
Me and Beige are best friends now. God, I tried so many times to get people to play that game.
I did try. I just didn't
oh my
click.
God, what did you play on the DS when I was trying to get you to play that?
I don't even know.
I mean, you like bad games. Why don't you like some good ones too? That's all I'm saying, really. Fair enough.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Paul Hay, for that awesome Gmail message. He always addresses just as fart.
Oh, that's nice.
That's how he always addresses me. Anyways, we got an email from Derek Robbins.
Oh, cool.
From, often, you know, famous for the 10th hour, which we just discussed. So, addressed to me, Mike. Don't worry about Persona 4's fake ending, which I was worried about last week. You don't have to max out your social skills to get it. In fact, you probably don't have to max out any of them. What triggers the bad ending is a series of events in December. Basically, it revolves around a decision you make, just like in Persona 3. Yeah, it's annoying getting the false ending, but if you save in time before dealing with these issues, it'll be okay. Also, the fake ending in P4 is really bad. There is a noticeable difference. Okay. Well, hopefully.
So why even put it in there?
I don't know. Just even when I heard that there's multiple endings, I suddenly got discouraged. I didn't even play it. I don't think I played it last week.
Well, it's like, I hate it. It's clearly one of those things designed to sell strategy guides.
like how there was that weapon in Final Fantasy XII that, like, if you open the wrong treasure chest in the beginning of the game, you could not get this weapon.
Right. I do kind of hate things like that. I gotta get back to Persona 4, though. Mm. Anyway, so you had a good show this week, meaning last week. I mean, not that that's any different than usual. I think you really need to bring back Answer or Die.
Done.
Which we did. It was an entertaining segment. Also, glad to hear you were as let down with Phantom Hourglass as I was.
You did talk about it, see?
Yeah. There was a lot of missed potential there, not to mention the fact that they kept sending you back to that one dungeon on the first island.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that I couldn't like the game more because it looks so darn pretty. I wanted to love it, but it just didn't fall into place for me. A shame because it's one of the few Zelda games I played that just doesn't click with me. Also, why haven't you accepted my PSN friend invite? I need you to need to play you in a SF4 when it's released, man.
No, he'll be getting the 360 version with me.
Okay, first off, I'm probably not going to get any version of Street Fighter 4. I don't like Street Fighter that much.
I'm excited for that game.
Second off, I'm sorry if I don't go on my PSN very much or my mailbox. I'll check for that next time I'm on there. unless you have Soul Calibur 4, I don't play very many online games though on my PS3. Anyhow, keep up the good work, and I hope all is well with you. I'm going to check out the Squadron of Shame stuff. I wish I was in a cool group like that when I was in 1UP. Signed, Derek.
Oh, hey, you can still join the squad. Go over to the squad page. It's still on 1UP until the full-blown website's ready to go.
Yep, page is working
diligently.
Yes, that's the word. Quite hard on the website, so it's going to be quite nice when it's up, so don't worry about that.
Very exciting.
So, yep, it's all going to be very good. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the show. Last week we talked about, we have a Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter account up now. So,
Twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
Yes. In fact, I want to Twitter something right now.
Oh, man.
Live on the show.
Oh, hang on. This is going to be awesome.
This is going to blow people's minds.
Nope, you got to delete your.
Yeah, I'm going to delete this. Anyways, to find it, just go to Twitter.com/explodingbarrel. /explodingbarrel.
That's all. I said that. And we still got the website's up at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can email me, adjguy711@gmail.com. You can email Mike at tolkoto@gmail.com. And, he just tweeted.
Oh, man, it's something. You should go to the site, too. I put some work into it. Looks pretty nice. I formatted it a little.
Very nice. So, yeah.
I'm talking about the Twitter page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Not the WordPress page. I'm talking to you, man. I'm talking to the peeps.
Oh, well, okay.
Peeps, man. It's all about the peeps.
Very good.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Word.